Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I have a delightful guest in store for you today. Dr. David Arrington is with me, and David's stated mission is to impact an entire generation of leaders. He does this by helping executives realize their vision and create sustainable change through 3D coaching. David holds a doctorate in strategic leadership, which he puts to good use in his coaching practice. He is a force multiplier for executives who want to hit their stretch goals fast. He partners with C-level executives and their leadership teams, increasing accountability, clarity, and focus. He's the principal of Arrington Coaching and is a much sought-after coach, speaker, and leadership trainer. He and his team launched ArringtonTraining.com to make his practical teaching style and proven methodology available to more leaders, teams, and organizations. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. David Arrington.
Thanks so much, Belinda. It is a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we just jump in? You said it was okay to call you Dave. Is that
absolutely
awesome? Okay.
That's what my mom calls me.
Yeah, all right. Fine. So why don't we jump in here, fill in some of the gaps of your bio, and tell me a little bit more about your journey. What brought you to this place of being so knowledgeable in this area of leadership?
Well, I like to say it all started when I was about 3 and I was finger painting and I had this. No. It's been a very eclectic journey from being a network engineer, worldwide recruiting manager, pastor, all the way to executive coach. And all of these different moments, all of these different careers, all these different, sometimes I joke about them as different lifetimes because they are very different. They've all given me an experience or provided a piece that will help, that helps me to be very effective working with leaders now. I've been working with leaders and been in leadership positions for 20 years over all of those different roles and responsibilities. So it was natural when I was moving from my 9-to-5 to do something else that this was the next step, which is why I went and got the doctorate and all that good stuff.
Very good. So let's talk a little bit about that. That's one of the things our listeners love to hear about is that decision to leave that 9-to-5. What was involved in that? At what point did you feel comfortable to do that? So that's the number one question that we get asked post shows.
No worries. So let me put it this way. It was a good thing that I had a very bad conversation with my boss's boss, like, you know, 3 levels up. And he told me in no uncertain terms, kind of out of the blue, that he had no confidence in me. They were never going to offer me another position that was higher or more responsibility. It was pretty rough. It took me a month to get over that one. And I'm really honest. I went through all 5 stages of grief on that one. And once I got past that grief, it was like a light came on and said, wait a minute, I've been ready to go for a while. The only thing that was holding me here was a feeling of responsibility or, you know, just status quo, which is easy. Now I want to make sure that I'm setting myself up to go in the right direction because now I'm definitely leaving here because that type of statement of no confidence, you can't unhear that. It can't be unsaid, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, I'm like, yeah, I've got to do something else. And that's how I moved on. So for me, while it was very, very difficult to hear, it was a blessing in disguise. It was that moment where I couldn't hide and just say, okay, I'm just going to do another week or another month or another year, because we both know that turns into decades and we're unfulfilled going on long periods of time, just living to live, just living another day, going through the same process. So for me, that's how I made the decision. That was that moment. I had been disgruntled for a while and pretty much disengaged for a while. But it was that moment where I look back and say, that was the day that I started making concrete plans and executing those plans.
Very good. So talk about your business today, and then how has this shaped your lifestyle, like in contrast to where you were then?
Oh, man. So business today, That's a good question. So I have stress of, you know, being your own boss is not a stress-free environment. I need to tell people that because people look, I got somebody that emailed me today on LinkedIn, says I'm at a career crossroads and I want to do what you're doing. And I laugh because while it looks easy, putting out the content, doing all the stuff, they have no idea how much work it is. And you need to understand, if you're going to go do your own thing, be prepared that it's going to be a roller coaster. I had another gentleman, one of my mentors told me, he was like, David, the reason I took this job at this Fortune 100, I think probably Fortune 10 company, was because I was done with the ups and downs of entrepreneurship. And he was making good money. He just didn't like that it was feast or famine all the time. So you got to understand that. So business today, we're growing actually. So I've actually, it says principal, and I was listening and I was like, haha, I'm more the chief operating officer now. We have a CFO where we're growing. We've got several people that we're working with. I was actually before this working on finding someone to help us do marketing so we can continue to grow. So now going back to my earlier point, stress, right? You always have stress. I was really stressed in my old job, but it was that kind of hopeless stress where you can't do anything about it. Now I'm stressed, but it's hopeful stress. It's stress that I'm more in control of. I'm in control of the marketing levers. I'm in control of who I work with. I'm in control of how many hours I work. I'm in control of how much time I spend with my family. I don't work with people I don't want to work with anymore. So that, to me, while they're both stressful, I prefer where I am now every day over where I was then.
Gosh, that is such a really great, simple explanation of that, is hopeless stress versus hopeful stress. Because I think everyone thinks, oh, you're on your own boss, then everything is all roses, and it isn't. And no, there are stressors in a day. I had one today. The book I thought I had is not printed at the same pages of what I communicated. And so it's like, it was a miscommunication of how we're counting pages. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, so it was a little stressful, but the hopefulness is it's going to be great at the end of the day. So we just need to work out these kinks on how to make it great. Because at the end of the day, it's not like, oh my gosh, this is awful and we're not going to have this at all. It's like, no, ooh, this is a little chink in the whole thing that I wasn't expecting. So you just figure it out. But it's still exciting at the end of the day. It's just a detail that it doesn't all go. It's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows every day. And I think that people need to understand that. And that is the easiest explanation that I have ever heard that explained, is hopeless stress, meaning I'm stressed out, but I don't see any way out of this. And hopeful stress is, yeah, this is stressful. I've got to find a solution, but it's all very hopeful. Like, it's all good because we're moving in a better direction, or we're moving in a great direction. So what an awesome explanation of that.
And let me just tie onto that, Belinda. It's not just because I know the direction. It's more because, for me at least, it's more because I'm in control now.
Yep.
I get to call the shots. I get to say what we're doing, what we're not doing. I get to say, okay, here's how we need to move forward, instead of feeling like, for a long time I did, feeling like I was at the whim of people who really didn't care. And it didn't, my well-being really didn't register in their decision-making process. So, you know, it just sucked for me, right? You know, it's just tough for you, right? But in this moment, I feel completely in control. I get to make those calls. And that's that entrepreneurial part everyone wants to get to. That's that freedom element, but it's not freedom without stress. It's not all daiquiris on the beach, right? It's very much an engaged every single day grind, but I'm excited to wake up now. I'm excited to get to work now. I'm excited to move forward. I'm excited about the projects we're working on. I'm excited about everything we're doing. And that's a huge difference for me.
Huge. Okay, great. Oh, that was awesome. So let's talk about skill sets. So what do you think that your superpowers are that have just really helped you in owning your own business?
Oh, man. I would say that probably the skill set that helps me the most is being able to pivot quickly, because the world moves very fast. And especially as an entrepreneur, if you're not pivoting, if you're not anticipating, if you're not moving where the market is moving, you're quickly going to be irrelevant because there's just so much other stuff happening. So one of the things that I would think is a superpower is the ability to not only pivot quickly, but pivot smart, because you can change and be like a chicken with your head cut off and end up going out of business because you've lost sight of who your actual target audience is, who your market is, and what they need. Or you can respond as the market changes or as you see the market getting ready to change. And for me, that's a smarter type of pivot. And you'd be able to say yes to more things. A lot of the pivots that we've made that have helped us to move forward in our business have been saying yes to things and then figuring out how to do them.
Wonderful. So now we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about great accomplishments and then great challenges. So is there a great accomplishment that stands out for you, something you're really proud of?
Oh, a lot of things. So just off the top, two things: getting my book out this year, right before everything kind of went sideways. Promotable, demonstrate your value, highlight your potential, land your next promotion. That was a labor of love that it happened almost accidentally, but I'm glad it's here. It's one of my big successes this year. One of my big accomplishments. The other is just building out again and a pivot, putting more of my courses that I was doing in person online. And that's turned out to be a bigger job to do well, right? You can always slap a course up there, but to be able to slap it up there in a way that actually engages people, keeps them as part of the learning process, nails what your clients are looking for, and you know, people are really excited about having taken, that's a bigger thing. So just the work we're doing on arringtontraining.com is also something that's very, very exciting for me.
Very good. Yes. Anytime you finish a book and take it to market, it's an exciting time and a big accomplishment. It's a lot of work. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. So now let's talk about that challenge. Is there a challenge you faced and how you worked through it?
Well, yeah. I mean, most people don't know this, but in 2013, my family and I experienced a house fire. We lost pretty much everything, including, and the one thing that really bugs me is we lost my son's pet guinea pig. So everybody else walked out. You know, we stood there, watched everything. I mean, it felt like hours. It was only a matter of like 10 minutes and our lives changed. But we all made it out safely along with our pup, just the clothes on our backs. We were basically, our insurance took care of things up front very nicely. So we weren't like destitute. We weren't sleeping in the car, but for hours, you don't know what's going to happen, right? So for that whole day, we were like, I have no idea what's going to happen. People were offering to let us stay with them, which was awesome. But then there was just the whole rebuild process where I remember that same day, I was talking to my daughter, and wow, at the time, she was probably like 8 or 9. And she said she was kind of broken up. We were sitting at IHOP just eating something, right? Because it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. In the afternoon, we hadn't eaten anything yet. And she said something. I said, honey, don't worry about this. This is huge. This is probably the worst thing that'll ever happen. And you got through it. You made it. You survived it. You're going to be stronger because of it. And so, you know, that played out. My kids are really resilient. They still miss certain things they lost in the fire. Like my sons had their own lawn mowing business and they made hundreds of dollars one summer and bought these PSPs that they lost in the fire, which they still bring that up. And they're like 20 now. They're in their 20s, which is amazing. But that was something that was important to them because they earned it. But we fought with the contractors, fought with everybody, and we were back in the house within, I think, 8 or 9 months. And it was a stressful period. I was doing my doctorate at that time. I was making the transition from full-time 9-to-5 to my own company. So there was a lot going on. So when I talk about stress, that was probably the most stressful period we've ever gone through. And like I said, we made it through. We're stronger now than ever. And we were able to leverage pretty much most of the things we learned through that process to help us grow Arrington Coaching.
Very good. So what were a couple of things that you did through that? I mean, that's a tragedy. I mean, that's a big moment for something like this to happen in people's lives. So what were some of the things that you did to just sort of, you know, compartmentalize all these different things that are happening? You're building a house, you're trying to take care of your kids and comfort them, you're getting a doctorate degree, you are trying to transition from a full-time position to starting your own business. Those are a lot of compartments. I mean, like, those are a lot of things. And what are some of the ways or tools that you did to handle that?
And I'd love to say that I had spreadsheets and it was all planned out and it was beautifully orchestrated. It wasn't. It was pretty much, I put my head down and I made a decision that we're getting back in our home, that this isn't going to beat us. Some of the things, and I'll be really honest, transparent, we all went to a little bit of counseling. I know we went to about 4 or 5 sessions. And I say that because I understood, having been a pastor, what trauma undealt with, right? If that's a word. I have a doctorate. I can make up words. So trauma that's not dealt with, I know how that can linger and mess people up long term. So I made sure we all went to some counseling to get through that. But beyond that, my wife and I put our heads down and we said, we're getting back in. And we just took everything as it came. And to be honest, it was every day was a different struggle. Every day was a different fight. Every day was it was its own beast. Seriously. So one of the good things was we were able to find a rental home that was close by our house. So we were pretty much here every day checking on things, making sure things were getting done well, because they wanted to cut a lot of corners and we didn't let them. With respect to my doctorate, they didn't even say, they were like, David, get the work done. Just do what you can, get the work done. They didn't cut me any breaks. They didn't cut me any slack. They didn't. So there were no opportunities to just breathe. So I just had to keep my head down and knock down one thing as it came. So there was no big strategy. There was no big, like, I don't know what that strategy would have even looked like, because there was no way to plan for what was going to happen the next day, because I kid you not, we would face a brand new, just upended experience every day, whether it was something the insurance company didn't want to do or something the contractor was saying or something the adjuster was saying. There was just a whole lot of moving parts that I couldn't even control in any way to put into a strategy. All I could control were my decisions, my desire to make sure we got there, and basically try to bend the world to my will, as it were. And my wife and I were successful. We got back in. That's pretty much what it was.
I love that you shared that. And I think I love that you were transparent and making sure that your family was all taken care of and getting that counseling. That is something that I think probably people would think, we don't have time for this right now. We got all this other stuff to worry about. So that was a really smart choice, because I think that kind of trauma is something that you can't just, like, I love that undealt, you know, stress or undealt situations or feelings. So that is amazing. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place, it means, and you hear it when I introduce myself or people ask me how I'm doing, I say I'm on top of the world, having the best day ever. That's my answer in and out, day in, day out, no matter what's going on, I'm on top of the world, having the best day ever, because I get to choose my state of mind. And because I get to choose that, I try to choose a state of mind that's positive and also one that's not a reflection of outside circumstances, but really just a reflection of where I want to be. So I've said that on days I've lost clients. I've said that on days I have, you know, gone through some really tough stuff, because that's my mental check that no matter what's going on outside, I still have control of what's happening in my head. I still have, I control that. No one else can control that. Circumstances can't change that unless I allow them to. So for me, that's working for my happy place. Getting to choose my response, getting to choose my state of mind. And yeah, being on top of the world, having the best day ever, every single day.
That is awesome. So we talked about that yesterday in one of our trainings on how you choose to see the day every day. It's like, you're, you know, are you a pessimist? Are you an optimist? And, you know, if you choose to see your day, that's how it'll drive you. If you see, choose to see your day great on top of the world, you're going to have more results that happen just like that. So that's awesome. So what advice would you give to others wanting to go down this entrepreneurial journey?
So I would say firstly that being an entrepreneur is kind of the glamour gig. What you really want to be is a business owner. And that there's so many ways. An entrepreneur could be someone who's doing multiple gigs and multiple businesses at the same time, but you got to understand the basics of business, what it takes to run a business. I would tell you to just set some very clear goals, not super wild goals at the beginning. Set goals that you can actually achieve that will give you the tailwind you're going to need to keep achieving goals, right? And keep moving forward. I would say once you've got those goals, create a plan to make those goals achievable. Don't try to wing it. If you wing it, you will be out of business, or you'll do something worse than being out of business. You'll create a job for yourself where you're not happy and you'll basically be your own worst boss. So think about the effort, the time, the sacrifice it's going to require to be this entrepreneur, to be this business owner, and ask yourself, is that what I really want to do? And it's okay to be okay with the status quo. If you don't want to go out there, because it's a big risk, but if you want to go out there, set your goals, understand the risks, create a plan to achieve those goals, and work like crazy.
That's great advice right there. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners can benefit from? And then, of course, at the end, let's tell people how they can find you.
Sure. New and exciting things I'm working on. Really, right now, I am building courses on arringtontraining.com. We've got a whole certification path we're working on right now. We just launched Leading High Performing Teams. Those are some really cool things that we're working on right now. Those are always labors of love. What else are we working on? I'm toying with another book, but I just don't have the bandwidth just yet. We just launched a pillar post on leading remote teams, managing remote teams. That's a pillar post we just put up with infographic and everything. I've done posts before, I've done blogs before, but this was a whole new affair. We engaged somebody to help us build it because we didn't have the time to get it all done. I wrote everything, but they helped to kind of polish it and make it more usable. Those are the things off the top of my head. I mean, I'm always creating content that goes on LinkedIn and YouTube and things like that. But those are the big things I think that your audience would appreciate.
Very well. Well, thank you so much. And David, how can they find you?
Oh, they can find me very easily at arringtoncoaching.com. And if you want to look for any of those courses, because we have a couple free courses on arringtontraining.com. But either place, you'll find me.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with our audience today and just being so transparent about a lot of different things and giving such great advice. I appreciate it so much. And I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you.
Belinda, again, my pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Had a great time talking to you.
Wonderful. So to all of our listeners out there, make sure if you enjoyed today's show, rate it. We love to get a really great rating. It's important for how we rank also in iTunes. So please make sure that you take the time to do that. And then subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You'll get great notifications of when new interviews land. And then if you feel so inclined, leave us a review because we always love those as well, both David and I. And I hope all of you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you the next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.